Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, Dr. Michael Hudson, he is a speaker, writer, coach, ideapreneur who works with all kinds of businesses out there, speakers, coaches, consultants, entrepreneurs, small business owners, and leaders of cause-focused organizations who are seeking to get clear on their message and to communicate it to create their impact on the world. Michael, welcome to our program today.
Derek, thank you so much. I appreciate that introduction and I'm delighted to have a chance to share some time with you today and your audience.
Hey, I should also mention that you are the author of Public Speaker Secrets, 52 Proven Ways to Increase Your Impact Every Time You Speak. I'm holding that in my hand right now. Awesome book, man.
Thank you. I'm honored by that, Derek, and even happier you're holding a copy.
Yes, sir.
I think the best value in that book, honestly, for your listeners and people like you, and hopefully, and that's why I wrote it, is it's bite-sized. You know, you can consume little bits and pieces. It was originally designed with, in my mind, was a 52-week video series. So it doesn't take long to read the bits and pieces that can give you some value. So hopefully you'll find that as you're going through it.
Yeah, this is great. We'll talk about it more a little bit. But when you scroll, I mean, you can scroll through this book and land on a page and it's easy to read. It catches your attention. Here, speaker secret number 36, a caution about microphones. Scrolling through again, some technology realities. Yeah, I mean, this is a great managing your notes, just some great handy tips in here, using humor effectively. Any of us, and those of us, and most of us listening, are in some way or another are speaking at some point, right? At some level. So this is great. And I'll tell you, I'm always looking for an edge when I'm speaking. I talk too fast. There's so many things that I need to improve on. And I'm always looking for a way. So any of you out there who are just looking to be more effective and to make a better impact, we'll plug this book at the end, but you definitely want to pick up a copy of this. This should be on your bookshelf. You should read it first, then you should keep it handy and share it. So
thank you very much for saying that, Derek. I appreciate
you bet.
It.
Hey, you've got an interesting story, so I've got to ask you. I'll tell you. I mean, I've read your bio, I've gone through, but you shared additional information with me, and I got to know, how did you go from being, and let's start here. How did you go from being petrified to speak when you were in public when you were young, you were a kid? Here you are writing books now, and you've delivered over 8,000 speeches and presentations, spoken in most of the states, spoken in several countries. So you're an internationally speaking, 3,000 businesses, government agencies. Tell me that transformation. Tell me about that point you were at early on, and then that's just huge to me. That's an impressive story.
Well, thank you. And it's been a journey, Derek.
I'm sure.
The real backstory, there's some shorthand stuff I'm going to throw out here, some of which is a little difficult to process, because some people may have experienced some similar things, and I'm not trying to gloss over the importance of those things. But to give you the, sort of thumbnail sketch of the process, I was the kid in elementary school who could not sit still. I'm a verbal processor. Some of your listeners may be, you may be.
Right.
That means I understand the world by talking through it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're a verbal processor and you also have, and I guarantee you, I went to elementary school in the 60s, Derek. They didn't know what Ritalin was then. Had they known, I guarantee I would have had some.
They just called them problem children back then.
Yeah,
right?
Well, and it was as though they were always telling you to shut up.
Right.
Now, they didn't use the word shut up, but that was the thing. And, you're sitting there and your whole way of understanding the world is to talk through things. And you're constantly being told, basically, stop trying to understand the world because you need to be quiet. And so that put me inside myself. I get to report cards, nice grades. But there was that little paragraph that they used to write when you were in elementary school. And that paragraph always said, Michael's a really bright kid and wonderful if he would just shut up. Again, I didn't say shut up, but that's what I read.
Sure.
Now, so I start to go inside myself, and I'm at the point, Derek, where when show and tell day comes and the teacher says, tomorrow's show and tell, don't forget to bring something, you're going to stand up and tell your friends about it. I'd get up the next morning and do my best to convince my mom I was sick. you know, and it got worse as I moved forward. And then, you know, unfortunately, when I was in my, you know, 8, 9, 10 time frame, I was sexually molested for a period of time by someone who told me that if I ever told anyone, they'd kill me. Now, you want to talk about something that closes your mouth.
Right.
And the thing that got me through that is I discovered right around that time the power of story. And that happened, Derek, when we had a speaker come in and, you know, as the kid who was always acting up, you know, a public seminar, you know, where a guy's going to speak to the whole everybody in the school. That's exciting as heck, right? I'm making paper airplanes all morning. You know, I'm stoked. I get to tap people on the shoulder and make them look the other way because they don't know where I really am. Well, this guy gets up and he walks up there. He's wearing jeans and a T-shirt. And he proceeds to start telling the story of how he started smoking marijuana. And then he started dabbling in other drugs, and he ultimately became a heroin addict. And he's telling in this vivid, colorful manner, you know, the pain and the agony of recovery, how much it hurt him when he would find himself stealing stuff just so he could feed his habit. And all of a sudden, Derek, for the first time in my life, I was riveted. I wasn't plucking people on the ear. I wasn't throwing my airplanes. My hands were on my knees, and I was sitting there riveted, listening to this guy.
Wow.
And it revealed to me the power of story. Now, my next step became reading. Because if you're uncomfortable talking, you got people threatening to kill you because of what they're doing to you.
Yeah.
That you're not, and I never did tell anyone. I do now.
Yeah.
And I lived in the country. And we had this thing, and you know, those of you who have lived in rural America in the 60s might remember, because they had these things that they called the bookmobiles. And they were Winnebagos converted into libraries to drive around and provide book access to people who didn't live in towns. So I began, every time that bookmobile would come every 2 weeks, I'd go down, Derek, and I would get 10 to 20 books, as many as they'd let me have. In fact, I had to get, my mother had to build a relationship with the woman who ran the thing, because I always wanted twice as many as they let me have. And I did a lot of reading, you know. So fast forward a little bit, I'm in my teens. I know I need to learn to speak. I'm active in 4-H. I'm getting a lot out of it. And they have a public speaking contest. And Derek, I wanted to be there, okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to walk up on that stage. For 5 consecutive years, I registered to be in the contest, and I never showed up. And it continued, you know, and then some other things happened. The day I finally got past it was when I was in graduate school. And I was a teaching assistant. That's what was paying my way. And I was getting ready to walk into my first class ever, an auditorium of 250 seats filled with students who, you know, as freshmen were just dying to learn about economics from this graduate student.
Oh, yeah. Riveting topic for them.
So as I walked out of my office and walked to the building, there were 3 different buildings between my building and the building where this classroom was. And if you and your audience will forgive me because it's a little gross, but I stopped and threw up at the men's room in each of those 3 buildings.
Wow.
Because I was that nervous and that's...
Wow.
And I don't know if you believe in divine intervention or not, Derek, but I do. And
right.
This was a moment of that. When I went in the last building where the room was, made a last trip to the restroom, all of a sudden, when I walked out of the restroom, I saw that man in front of that classroom when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And I remembered the power of story. And I said, you know what? If I tell him a story and then teach him something, this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
And so I did. I walked in the room and I said, okay, I'm remembering the story of when I first learned what I'm about to teach. And I told him that story about why it didn't make sense to me, why I thought it was stupid, but how I learned to understand it, you know, and then they learned. and at that moment, all the anxiety disappeared. Because it was also at that moment that I think I realized, when you know what you're talking about, there's no reason to be nervous because you are the only one knows what's supposed to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? I've got several more questions for you, and I want you to keep going. But first of all, that's what a profound story. A couple things. One is, thank you so much. Just thanks for sharing it. I know it's a personal and vulnerable and a tough story to share that you've shared often now, but that's still tough. And I feel like when we peel back some of those band-aids and those layers, it can have such a profound impact on others' lives. So I'm really touched that you're opening up like that. I really do appreciate it. I know our listeners do too.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
And it's your story, and it's part of it, good and bad. And that's, but you know, the next thing I'm caught by is, and I want our listeners to take note of this, those that have, and I dealt with being shy, painfully shy as a kid too. And you know, people meet meet you now, they meet me, they wouldn't believe that you're out hosting podcasts, you're speaking, you're doing things. They're going, yeah. No, you weren't. And but there's things you overcame that were big in your life. But you know, there's a couple times when you gave up or you hid and you didn't do it. And so for those that the first time or the second time or the third time, like when you signed up for 4-H and didn't show. Yeah. So I want those that are dealing with that right now, and maybe you feel like you're in a pattern of defeat or that this thing has got you beat. It doesn't. Look at Michael's story and what he's sharing. It took a few times. It took several times, and he physically was sick from it. But anyway, that's just such a profound thing that you kept going. Tell me, keep the progression going for me. So you got through that time, and that was a big transformation. Was it all smooth sailing from there? Or tell me how did you keep progressing to where you are?
Of course, Derek. I the next time I spoke, they gave me an award.
Oh, sure. But no, was it a continual progression for you from there that was a positive?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't want to mislead in the story. That wasn't the most polished day on the stage.
Right.
But it was the day when I said, now I know why I've always wanted to be here. And now I know that I can be here.
Yeah.
And it was the comfort level, you know, and I'm not going to say nerves didn't come back from time to time. You know, and you know, the other reality and the beauty of having spent time in the academic world and the career is that you get to speak a lot.
Right.
And Derek, you get to speak to people who don't necessarily want to listen to you.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to say you either get good or you go home, but you're going to have to get better.
Right.
So, you know, I've had people say, 8,000 presentations, how do you do that? Well, Derek, when I was on the faculty at the University of Illinois, two semesters a year, I taught between 5 and 7 different classes a semester. And that's 5 or 7 classes, each of which met 2 to 3 times a week for 16 weeks. You know, and they weren't the same subject.
Right.
You know, so you develop some things pretty quickly there. And, you know, you mentioned your listeners who may have this. You know, I found there are a number of things that get in people's way, right? There are the people who have experienced what I call the bad event or the bad experience.
Okay.
The time when you walked up to the front of the room, you tried to speak and nothing came out. There are people who have had something like in my life where they had a traumatic event that somehow got them off track and devalued them. You know, I had another element going on in that whole process that impacted me, which was I was adopted. And while I had no problem being adopted and was blessed with amazing parents and always I was, there was always that little thing in the back of the head that I think pushes the "Are you good enough?" button.
Right.
And those doubts are there. So there's the people who have had experiences like that. You know, just there are things in their background that have made them question themselves. And that there's that inner critic. You know, there's that person says, you'll never be good enough, or you won't be as good as that person.
Hmm.
You know, you can work through all of those. And in fact, that's my passion now, Derek, is helping people work through those things.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so, one more thing I want to touch on in the story before we keep going is, man, I get so excited about this. This is just such a profound story. And I love the redemption side of it and the divine intervention. And it's just, it's touching. You know, also, I was at my daughter's school today, my 7-year-old daughter. I want those also that are out there to realize what an impact you can make to an 8-year-old. That you may not realize. That's profound as well. You can make an impact. Here's somebody right now who's talking about a major impact that had on them, not only at 8, that took them down a different path and gave them an out with reading and knowing a different direction to pursue, but also to have that inspiration that many years later. A lot of us can point to a time or somebody like that was an influence. I can think of someone when I was 14. They had no idea they were having that kind of positive impact on my life. They were just living that way and doing their thing. So that's really powerful too, that person was able to have that kind of impact on you without even realizing it.
You know, and there's a success tip in there, Derek, which is think of who that person was and find a way to send them a note and say thank you.
Absolutely.
Because they don't know. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, John Jimenez has no idea. But I'll tell you what's interesting. When I tell that story in front of a room, particularly if I'm in the Mid-Atlantic region, there will be somebody come up and say, I saw him too.
Wow. Okay.
And almost every one of them says, he had the same impact on me. And sometimes it's a different impact. Sometimes it helped them get away from where they were headed down a path that was similar to his or something.
But, yeah, I want to encourage everybody to make a list today when you're listening to this. Write down a name or two. I get emotional about this because I can think of somebody that 2 weeks ago passed away that was an impact like that in my life, and I never told them that. And so I wasn't able to tell them until it was telling their spouse about what an impact that the husband had on me when I was younger. So, you know, before it's too late, make sure you let that person know too. They might need that encouragement as well. Now it might be their turn to get that same level of encouragement. So,
well, you know, the thing, Derek, that happens when I tell this story, and, you know, I have a more full blown version than we've shared here, but you get three reactions from people in the audience. You get some that you watch them take their hands and they literally cross their arms across their body and kind of hug themselves. Hmm. Now, I interpret that they're telling me they understand, they relate, they've been there. Hmm. There's another group of people who can't look at me. Suddenly, the floor becomes the most interesting thing in the room. And I know those are people who are wrestling with it right now.
Yeah, right.
And then there's the others who look at me and then sort of try to direct their eyes from me to someone else as though they want me to follow their eyes because they're going to tell me who I need to help.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. You'll have people come up and say, you know, people who've seen me. For example, I have a client I've worked with for many, many years. I shared that story in an all-staff meeting of theirs 2 years ago. Hmm. One of the people I had worked with for 10 years came up to me and she said, "You have no idea. I lived that exact same story."
Wow.
And I was able to look at her and say, because I knew her well, "Actually, I do know." I said, "I noticed that you never speak up when we're in groups, but you talk very well one-on-one." She said, "Well, I'm scarier than you are, or than you were."
Right.
I said, "I get that." I said, "Are you going to change based on what I shared today?" She said, "I'm going to try harder."
Yeah.
And now I've had the privilege of watching for 2 more years, and she has, and she's come out of that shell.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Sometimes all we need, Derek, and this is the point you were making, right? All we need is to know somebody else experienced that and got past it.
Right. Tell me the immediate reward, though. I mean, for those that are saying, you know, I want to stay where I'm at. I mean, I don't necessarily, but what's the other side really look like? I mean, for those of us that become entrepreneurial or that become really aggressive and motivated, we feel like, oh, we need to get to that next level. So we need to overcome these things. Those that don't feel as ambitious in that way, tell me the payoff. Is it going to be more confidence? How are they going to feel about themselves if they take some of these steps?
Well, Derek, I think the biggest thing is peace of mind.
Yeah.
Because, and again, it's difficult for me to project to other people what I had. But what I always felt was that my message was not getting heard.
Hmm.
That it was being shut down and curtailed, which is why my theme of my work today is get your message heard.
Yeah.
Because you alluded to it. Every one of us has a journey we have traveled. It is our unique journey, our unique story. It taught us things that others don't know. We have a bad habit as human beings. We assume that people know all the stuff we know. We assume that what we're going to share has no value because our mind says, well, everybody knows that. You know what? Everybody doesn't. There is something you picked up in your journey that's going to reveal something to someone. There may be someone listening to this podcast, for example, who heard me make the point about signing up for a contest 5 times and never going, who did something similar.
Right.
And it may just be hearing that that says, you know what? It's time for me to actually sign up and show up.
Hmm.
You know, yeah. One of the things that drives me in this is I've had the privilege of working with a lot of organizations and sitting in a lot of rooms and facilitating a lot of processes. Invariably, someone always comes up to me at some point after not saying anything during the open session in the room and whispers something at a break that is important and valuable, but they were too scared to bring it in the conversation. So what lies on the other side is knowing that your ideas are getting heard. What lies on the other side is knowing that you're actually having the impact that you're put here to have. What lies on the other side is the satisfaction of knowing you contributed and whether your idea is the one that won, so to speak. Or not, it was part of the conversation and it enriched the conversation and it shared what you and only you could have shared. That's got to be rewarding.
That's powerful. Is that what you mean when you talk about removing the mask and revealing your authentic self?
Absolutely.
That's really powerful. Thanks.
I mean, Derek, I had a blessed career. I mean, I really did. But I was always wearing a mask and a suit because I was never myself. The story I'm telling you today, I only started being willing to tell in public about 3 years ago.
And that's amazing. Well, I'm glad you did. And again, you had to talk more. You've been a tenured professor at Big Ten and Ivy League schools. And again, with all the speeches and the coaching that you've done, yes, you've had a very successful, blessed career. Tell me a little bit about your present business. I'd love to talk about that. You've kind of shared a little bit about how you help people grow. But tell me, just give me more detail about what that looks like.
Yeah. Well, Derek, I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, it's my business is it's a passion-based business. You know, it's a business I got into because I want to help people grow their expertise-based business, because I know the value and the reward that has come to me from doing that. So, you know, we're talking about speakers, coaches, consultants, people who create content. Now, the stuff also, as you mentioned in the introduction, works for entrepreneurs and executives and leaders of cause-based organizations.
Right.
Because in every case, there are pitfalls, there are obstacles, and there's a learning curve to getting where you want to go. Hmm. Now, my most intentional focus right now is on helping people build sustainable six-figure plus businesses that leverage that personal journey, that unique experience, that distinctive insight they have to create impact. And so, you know, I teach them primarily, it's around messaging. You know, every one of us has to be able to communicate what we do in order to grow our business.
Right.
And, you know, we all miss the fundamental question. Because the fundamental question is this very simple question. What problem do you solve for the people you serve? Huh. And I spend a lot of time asking people that question, listening to their responses, and helping them make over their message so that when they say it the next time, it gets the people who they are best suited to serve to raise their hands, and it repels the people that they're not suited to serve.
Right, yeah.
Because, the good thing about books is I read yours, and I don't want these people to buy a duck.
Well, I appreciate you for reading. Thanks for reading it. I appreciate that.
It was good, man.
Excellent. Thank you. I love hearing about messaging. I love the way you're sharing that. It is so important. You know, I do talk about that in my book some, but I love the way you're framing it. Your messaging is so important, and not just hitting people over the head about what your product is, but being able to clearly and translate and make sure that you make that emotional connection on what it's going to do for them and how it's going to change their life.
Well, you know, I had a landscape contractor I was talking with last week. You know, and he's falling into the standard thing. He's getting ready to do some radio shows. You know, he's paid, you know, he's been sold the advertising for these, you know, what do they call them? Live location visits that the radio station
yes,
does.
This particular, remotes, yes.
Yeah, live remote, that's the word. So this live remote station locally that we have every Friday there at a certain restaurant, and they sell a lot of time to people to come in and talk about their business. And he's asking me, what should I tell him? I said, well, what are you going to tell him? what do you suppose he told me? He's going to tell them that they do this and they do this and they do this and they do this. And I said, you know what? The audience doesn't care. Mm. He said, well, we build these beautiful fire pits. I said, yeah. And how do people use those fire pits? Because as you know, you got to probe the conversation.
Right.
He says, well, they make s'mores around them. I said, okay. So what the person cares about is that experience of sitting there making s'mores with their grandkids.
Right.
You make that experience happen. Hmm. I said, you say that in that conversation, you're going to get more people contact you than if you say we build fire pits.
Yeah, that's good. You know,
and what? I know you would agree because it's in your book, right?
Well, absolutely.
But same concepts.
But we both talk about this. But you know, it's not surprising anymore. You coach, I coach in some ways, and we run across. I mean, we run across $1 billion+ brands that are missing the conversation sometimes, having authentic conversation. And yeah. So it's don't feel bad if your startup or if your company's is not engaged like you should be here. There's ways to improve, and there's companies much bigger than yours sometimes that are having some of these same issues. So
absolutely.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I mean, you've shared some setbacks in life or some ways that you got started and overcame, but tell me any other maybe setbacks that you've seen or your clients have seen in business and in leadership. What was your key takeaway? How did you respond? You know, we talk often, we don't like to focus on it, but we talk about failure. And for me, failures are some of the scars that I look at and go, oh, that's when this happened. And so I don't do that again, or I learned from it. What did you see and how did you deal with it?
Well, you know, setbacks are a big challenge for people. And, you know, I think the speaker's name was Willie Jolly, who wrote a book a few years ago called A Setback is Just a Setup for a Comeback.
Yeah, right.
And I've always loved that phrase and remembered it, you know, because, you know, one of my big setbacks that I have to share is that I was invited to leave one of the positions I held in the academic world. And, you know, there's a lot to that, Derek, and I shared some of that with you in our prep work.
Yes.
The reality is I was always wearing the mask and the suit, as I call it, because I wasn't being authentic. You know, I wasn't speaking up when I should have. I wasn't sharing my take on things. I was instead comfortable sharing what I thought everyone wanted me to share. And if you've ever done that, you know how uncomfortable that can be.
Yes.
So, you know, I was being driven by the desire for success. I was looking for validation and affirmation from people. You know, I had too much of the focus on me. You know, I was very happy every time my name was in the paper or I got picked for this or recognized for that. But I ended up in a world, Derek, where I was working 7 days a week, literally 12 to 15 hours a day. And despite the fact there are those out there who would think, well, academics don't do that, trust me, many of them do. Hmm. I was tired. I was way, way, way overweight. Hadn't been to the gym in forever. And I decided I'm going to push back a bit, you know, and I had colleagues that knew I wasn't happy. One of whom, in fact, used to joke to me, said, you're just waiting until one day you can just sort of walk out, aren't you? Because I always was frustrated by a bureaucracy that wouldn't let me do things that I thought made sense.
Right.
So I decided I'm going to see how far I can push it. Now, at first, Derek, that was very conscious. But then it became part of who I was. I sort of lived in that world of it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Sure.
Because I was an entrepreneur stuck in a bureaucracy. I was wearing the suit and wearing the mask and pulling it off, and everybody thought I was happy because we were doing good things. And I was probably the most unhappy person I've ever could ever imagine being.
Wow.
So I pushed really hard. And I was in a scenario where I kind of had a board of directors for the position I held and the program I ran. And they decided they didn't like it, and I was given the opportunity that I could stay if I wanted, but I had to move on from the program and do something else, or I could leave. So it was the equivalent of being fired, really.
Yeah.
And that was a painful setback. And so, you know, when it happened, I moved into a small two-room apartment, living behind my father's cabinet shop, you know, alone, disconnected, hiding, fearful that people were going to find out. Embarrassed by the fact that people are going to discover this was all the mask in the suit. The guy's really nothing.
Yeah.
And but here's the lesson that came from that, okay? I'm happy I did that.
Yeah.
Because had I not, you know, people think tenure's a blessing, you have a lifelong job and so forth. Well, it's really not. It's kind of a curse. Because if you get locked into it, I mean, you know, nothing is sadder to me than the person who says, well, I've only got 3 more years to put in, then I get to retire. My gosh, that must be a horrible existence. And I'm glad I listened to the voice, you know, right. Because the voice was saying to me, don't settle, don't accept, don't tolerate, don't get stuck here where you're not happy and you don't belong. And the other voice was kind of saying, and if you got to keep wearing this suit and this mask in order to have value, then something's wrong. You're on the wrong bus and you're in the wrong seat.
Right.
You need to have the guts to walk away. And Derek, the truth of the matter, and I don't think I've ever actually said this out loud to anybody, the truth of the matter is I didn't have the guts to walk away. That's why I pushed the envelope until somebody suggested I might want to walk away.
Yeah, wow.
And to me, that was a powerful lesson because I realized I was holding myself back. My life sense, my impact sense, although I miss working with the students, I could never have been able to impact the kinds of things I've impacted since I left that world. So I'm not trying to encourage your listeners to go quit their job tomorrow, but I am trying to encourage you to recognize there may be a really uncomfortable bridge to where you really want to be.
Right.
And if you need to cross that bridge, have the guts to do it.
I will. Thank you so much. You're my favorite kind of person to learn from. Aaron Walker, a mutual friend of ours, similar with his stories. I like to learn from experts like you that have actually been through the trials and the tribulations, come out the other side. It's so much more relatable. I'm passionate about talking to you and to other experts like you. Again, I can't stress enough how amazing it is to have you be open about where you were at. And that's my favorite thing about doing the show is getting to learn from you. Hey, let me ask you, tell me though, when the dust settled, you were in the small two-room apartment after having the tenure and the success that you had and your name in the lights when it was supposed to be and doing all, how did you, you know, I agree with you. I think that I can go back to a few times in my life where I had to cross a very uncomfortable bridge to get to the places that I needed to go to. And it was, and sometimes I unintentionally or intentionally kind of forced it to happen.
Yes.
You start to learn and see that, and it becomes more that you become, I phrase it as being comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because you've seen it enough times. And so that's a great time when you can start mentoring others and helping them walk through those kind of bridges like you do. But take me for a minute. We won't harp on it, but you know, there might be some listening that are in that spot. They're the dust settled and they're for lack of a better term, rock bottom in where they're at. And they're looking up and going, well, I'm glad I did that, but now what? Or where were you? Where was your frame of mind? And how did you then recognize to get to where you are today? Because this show is about, is a show of redemption and learning. So take me there and let's quickly quickly get to how you climbed out. What was your mindset there? Did you have a clear picture of where you were going to go?
Oh, heck no.
Okay. And that's okay.
I mean, I knew where I wanted to be, Derek. And when I say that, it's, you know, at that time, you know, the people I listened to all the time, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, those people, right. To me, they were making the kind of impact I wanted to be making on people and on organizations. But I was, you know, when you're in the academic world, and particularly in schools like I was at with University of Illinois and Cornell, you get a lot of those opportunities. Hmm. But the downside is that when you do what I did and you walk away and you feel like you were chased away, you don't feel comfortable contacting those people.
Hmm.
Because you feel like everybody knows something bad about you.
Right.
Yeah. And the person you describe might feel that.
Right.
You know, so I retreated to comfortable territory. You know, by living behind my dad's cabinet shop, I moved back to where I grew up. And there were some other things going on at that time. My mother had some health issues. It was, you know, I was here to help him with that. But I retreated and took some downtime. And I thought through a lot. Now, this was 1994. You know, so the internet was really just becoming big, AOL, you know, we were all logging on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And all that stuff. And I finally one day just said, I've had enough of this sitting around. You know, I'm not going to go impact people like Ziglar and those guys do if I just keep sitting in this little two-room apartment and just going out once in a while. And I got into the gym, got the weight off and all that stuff, which was very valuable to me.
Right.
And I said, okay, what have I got? Take stock of myself. And you know, I'm a big writer to sort through things. My verbal processing translates very well to my processing in journals.
Okay.
So I started journaling a lot about, okay, what do you really want to do? And how are you going to get there? Because, you know, I'm living in Southern Delaware, a place I grew up. I love. I'm near the beach. It's great. But, you know, there's the closest airport's 2 hours away. you're not in a major metro area. It's not like you get a lot of big businesses because, you know, a lot of our industry is here. It was either agriculture or tourism.
Okay.
And I said, okay, what are you going to do? So I started looking around, you know, and one day I decided, okay, I'm going to go see two people who knew what I was doing and I'm going to tell them why I'm back in Delaware.
Hmm.
These are people I trusted that I felt I was could be comfortable with the story because I had decided I need to tell somebody.
Okay.
I can't just keep hiding.
Right.
And one of those people was a gentleman who I actually knew because he ran a shoe store and he had sold me shoes since I was a baby. But he was also a very respected businessman in the local market. So I had lunch with him and I said, explained to him, you know, I just wanted to let you talk with you about, you know, why I'm back in Delaware and what I'm looking to do and get your ideas on it.
Hmm.
Well, I was very fortunate. I left that lunch and he said, there are five people I'm going to introduce you to in the next week. I'm asking you to do one thing, call them. Hmm. I said, okay. So every day he called me, he gave me a name, he gave me a number, and he said, he's expecting your call at this time.
Hmm.
That was the extent of the conversation, okay? The rest of it was just like we were just catching up and I was sharing my story. He was, you know, sharing support as a friend does, you know, even though he's a more of a mentor, you know, the age difference is there a little bit.
Right.
But he's listening and he's processing and he says, call this guy. Well, the beauty of that is that because I had had experience in the world I wanted to be in, which is the consulting, training, speaking, coaching world, when I called them, I had ideas of what I could do. And essentially, I called and said, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to get a meeting. And in every case, they said yes, because he had asked him to say yes.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Right.
<Yeah. laughs> And I went and met with him. Well, you know, out of that, two of them hired me and frankly hired me for pretty nice projects, you know. And so I kind of got a five-figure business overnight.
Wow.
Mid-five-figure from two of those people.
Right.
Which is what really got me started. Now, in the context of your question, Derek, how does that apply to the people who may be listening who are in the same situation? The real essence there is, number one, figure out what you want.
Hmm.
Number two, take stock of what you have. Number three, admit that you need help and ask somebody to help you.
Yeah.
Now, then you've got to follow through. But if you do those first three things, I think the clarity will come and you'll know, and you just have to proceed and do it.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Thank you. That's great advice, and you're so right. And again, we usually stay pretty positive. This is very positive. So I appreciate you sharing that. Most of our listeners are pretty upbeat, but let's be honest. Every one of us are dealing with some things always in our life that is a habit or hang up or something for us, even if we hide it and do really well. So it's great for us to know that. And we know this, you know, from these mastermind groups and communities that we're not meant to be in isolation, and we do need help from others. And asking for help is something that took me. I'm just getting comfortable with doing that over the last couple of years. I really thought I had to do it on an island for many, many years. And that's not to take away from all the people that were mentors and helped me. But, you know, the asking for help is hard for some of us, the way we're wired.
Absolutely.
And our pride.
And good for you for finally figuring out to do it.
You know what I realized?
I was the same way.
I realized there was some world-class, capable, amazing, world-class people who were available.
Yeah.
And when they see the authenticity and the desire and where you want to go, they're willing to invest. I've been not surprised anymore. And then it's our responsibility to then return that as we grow. But, you know, people, you really don't be afraid to ask, especially if it's coming from the right place. And you might get a few no's, but don't be afraid of rejection. But if you come from the right place and you follow his steps, and then the asking is the tough part. Actually, being honest with yourself is tough as well, isn't it? And even honest in identifying what it is you want. So, you know, the steps you shared are really powerful. I love that. Thank you so much.
Well, Derek, you know, if I have been fortunate to learn anything in my life, it is this. It is that if you can create a vision of what you want, you can make that vision a reality. Hmm. Now, there are biblical concepts in there. There are business concepts in there, but it's the truth. Because when you can paint the vision and you can communicate it first into your own brain, and then into the minds of other people who you need to help you, you can make that vision a reality. Will it be exactly as you depicted it? No, but it'll be a lot closer than you may think it would.
Right.
What holds us back is our unwillingness to share and reveal and be genuine, authentic, real, and vulnerable to say, look, I don't know the next step. I've watched you and I think you might know it. Hmm. Can you help me figure it out?
Yeah.
And there's magic in that question. I mean, let's face it, Derek, there's magic in the word help. There are very few people who will leave you on your own if you ask them for help.
Right.
But you got to ask intelligently, right? You don't walk up and say, look, I'm trying to build a business. Can you hire me? Right. No, that's not what you do.
Right.
And you know that.
Yeah, you know, one of the exercises we did was interesting, and this was a different way of asking for help, but it was asking our network, what are some areas that are some blind spots that we may not be aware of. I don't know if you've seen that in the assessment.
Yes.
Oh, that hurt really bad. That's a little bit different direction, but I did that and asked, I think, 25 people, and it was amazing how people from different parts of the country and different relationships in my life shared that information. But I really did want that help. I wanted to know where I was, and this is a different kind of asking for help. But
yes,
it made a difference for me. It really made a difference in me and how others perceive me in some areas that I could work on that I wouldn't have found otherwise. But yeah, you're so right. I have found that when it comes from the right place, asking the right people, they want to. That's part of their mission is to share and give back the things they've learned. So,
and even Derek, you know, if you can't figure out on your own where that place is that you ought to go, you can ask them for help in figuring that out.
Right.
Most people love to brainstorm about things like that and what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't have people in your life that do that, find some.
Right.
Call me, call you. I mean, there are people there that will do that.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, a couple more questions for you, and I really do appreciate and want to value your time today. Tell me, I'd like to ask every guest this because it means something different for everybody, but what does success look like for you, and how do you measure it?
You know, Derek, I used to make what I now call the big mistake, which was tracking success primarily by dollars in the bank,
mm-hmm.
or by, you know, dollars of revenue flowing in per year. And I used to rank, you know, I used to let my personal value be tied to that. You know, if I didn't get a raise this year and make more than I did last year when I was employed, that was a problem. You know, if my revenues, my business didn't grow higher this year than they were last year, that was a problem. But it doesn't make you happy.
Right.
You know, what makes you happy is, you know, when you're using your talents to their best use and you're fulfilling your purpose on earth. You know, so for me, that's about impacting others and helping them achieve more. Because, you know, the thing I miss from the academic world is watching the students who would come in and transform in that 4-year time period that I would have the privilege of working with them. Well, now I do the same thing with individuals in their business. You know, and I watch them progress through the process where they get from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. And to me, Derek, there is nothing that feels, that reflects success more to me than knowing that here's a person who I helped overcome obstacles, who I helped avoid pitfalls, who I helped shorten that learning curve to getting where they wanted to be. It almost feels parental, but when you see someone you helped succeed, to me, that's the ultimate success.
That's awesome. Man, Michael, thank you so much. I want to be able to go back to your book again and then give some plugs about how we can, how our listeners can contact you. We've got michaelhudson.com. Is that a good resource for our listeners to go and learn more about what you do?
Absolutely.
Excellent. And then I want to also, how about, where do we find your book, Public Speaker Secrets? I believe I purchased that on Amazon.
Yes, the book is available at Amazon either in Kindle or print form. And I'd be honored if anyone decided to purchase it, if they leave a review after they read it, because as we all know, that helps us. And I always want to know what people thought of it and whether it helped them. The other thing you can do, Derek, and send your listeners to is just michaelhudson.com/leadership. That's a special link set up for your listeners.
Oh, thank you.
And there's three options there of things they can get that might be helpful to them. One is an abbreviated version of the book we just discussed. It's called 52 Speaker Secrets. Hmm. And it is basically a two to three sentence synopsis of each of the 52 secrets that are in the book. Wow. The second thing that's there, Derek, that might help some of your folks is, you know, if you don't speak a lot, sometimes when the time comes that you need to speak, you don't really know where to start in preparing.
Right.
And most people, unfortunately, start in preparing by opening up PowerPoint, which is not the place you should start. So I have a thing called a speech planning template, which your folks could download a free copy of if they want.
Excellent.
Which really just guides you through a 15-step process of really making creation of a speech more effective and focusing your attention. And for folks like you and me that recognize how important it is to be calling people to take action, that template is designed to guide you down that path.
Yeah, that's great.
And the final thing that's available there is, you know, I do these message makeover calls for people. And, you know, you can sign up through there. You can click the link. It'll take you to the process to sign up. And what I find is that a lot of times we are so close to our message, we can't see what is most obvious and that we're missing. So, you know, right. It's amazing sometimes in a 15 to 30 minute call how far we can get and how fast in just tweaking one little thing here or there, or sometimes it's a big thing
right. That
takes your message to a whole new level. So that's another option they've got on that page. So it's at michaelhudson.com/leadership, and I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes.
Absolutely. michaelhudson.com/leadership. He's got these three amazing offers to choose from. We'll make sure we put that out and tweet it out and LinkedIn it out. And again, I want to recommend, let me share with you what Ray Edwards, author of How to Write Copy That Sells, that great book. Michael Hudson is a difference maker. He is a wise counselor who speaks vision into other people. He helps you articulate your own vision, and he helps you communicate that vision with power, purpose, and passion. Who doesn't want that in their life, in their business? That's powerful. Michael,
I am honored that Ray shared that, and I appreciate you
sharing. That's so great. Hey, listen, thanks again. Really, again, value your time. Hey, I want to encourage others to look him up on Facebook as well, Dr. Michael Hudson. I follow him there, and I enjoy seeing his videos. And again, you would never know this was a guy that was shy in his past. He's a rock star with Facebook, a Facebook Live, and he's got a whole video series that he puts out, regular content. It's of great value. It's easily digestible and short, great messages. So follow that as well, so you can stay in touch with what he's doing. He's a valuable content machine coming out right now. So it's great to follow him if you want little nuggets of value to get through your week. So Michael, thanks again. You've been an awesome guest. I look forward to keeping an eye on what you're doing and all the amazing things that are happening in your life.
It has been my privilege, Derek, and thank you so much for those kind words there at the end and the opportunity to speak to your audience and share some ideas with them that I hope can help them.
Take care, buddy.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.